All right, church, we are going to be in Luke 24, verse 13. It says, that very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in the last days?" And he said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. And now their chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who would redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things have happened. Moreover, some women of their company amazed us. They were at the tomb early that morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of them who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, 'O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all of the scriptures the things concerning himself. So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He acted as if he was going further, but they urged him strongly, saying, 'Stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at table with them, he took the bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened and they recognized him. And he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, 'Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures?' And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem. And they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, 'The Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon.' Then they told what had happened on the road, and now he was known to them in the breaking of bread."
Amen. How you guys doing? Good, good. So I'm curious, how do you know if you're hearing from God? Like, is God going to speak to you in such a way that is so obvious, so undeniable, unmistakable, that if he were to speak to you, surely you would know it? Or would God speak to you in a way that is so subtle that it can be confused for your own thoughts? We're in a series talking about hearing God. Last week, we talked about how hearing God starts with an understanding of our identity, that we are sheep. Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice." And so for anyone who is in Christ, anyone who is a believer, you are a sheep. And because you're a sheep, you can hear God's voice. It's not something that's just for the super spiritual ones. It's something that all of us get in on, okay? If you are a sheep, Jesus says, you hear his voice and you'll follow him and not follow the voice of a stranger. And so if, you know, hearing God is something that is an active part of your walk with God and it's a daily occurrence for you, that's awesome. If hearing God is something that you're brand new at or you're unfamiliar with, that's okay too. I hope and my aim is that through this series and through this message, to be helpful to everyone, whether it's something that you do daily or it's something that you're new to, we can hear God. And so how do you know if what you're hearing is the voice of God or your own thoughts or the voice of the stranger? I want to start with a story that is going to be an odd way to start a sermon, okay? So I'll just acknowledge that. It comes from a news article I read, and you've maybe have heard this story as well. So this happened last January on a Friday in Scottsdale, Arizona. A woman named Stephanie, who was the owner of a dance studio, had just finished up one of her sessions, and she's walking out of the building and gets a call. It's an unknown number. And so she goes to ignore it, but then she remembers, you know, one of my daughters is on a ski trip right now, and I would hate for her to need me or for something to come up and that be her and me ignore the call. So she takes the call, and it's her daughter on the other end of the line, and it's her daughter's voice, and her daughter's name is Brianna. And she picks up and she can tell that her daughter is really distraught. And she said, "Mom, I really, really messed up. These bad men have me, and they're saying that they're going to hurt me." And I mean, the flood of emotions that would come if you were on the other end of a phone call like that. So this Stephanie runs back into the dance studio and asks for help, and three other women come to help her. And so one goes and calls 911. One goes and calls Stephanie's husband, the girl's father. And then the other woman just stays with Stephanie as she's on this phone call. And so the man comes on the other end of the line and says, "Yeah, we have your daughter. And if you don't agree to our terms, we're going to kill her." And so they start with saying, "Hey, you know, pay us $1 million. She says, "I don't have $1 million. And so they're talking, they're getting down to a number. And as they're doing that, the woman who went and called 911 shows up and says to Stephanie, "Hey, I just talked to 911 and they said that this might be a scam." And Stephanie's thinking, I'm her mother, okay? I can tell that's my daughter's voice. And so she keeps talking, and now they're talking about where they're going to meet up to exchange the money and everything. And then the other woman who went and called Stephanie's husband, the girl's father, comes and says, "Hey, I just got off the phone with your husband, and he's with your daughter, Brianna. She's okay. She's safe. Nothing has happened." And then she realizes that this whole thing was a sham. And as you might imagine, she has a few choice words that she says to the guy on the other end of the phone. And then she hangs up with them and gets on a call with her daughter, who's saying, "Hey, Mom, like I'm with Dad. Everything's okay. I'm not sure what's going on, but I'm fine. I was never kidnapped. I'm okay." And what had happened is someone had taken artificial intelligence, AI, and cloned the voice of her daughter, and was attempting to scam Stephanie out of some money. When I heard this story, I thought, man, in order for someone to do something like that, it's probably some like evil genius in his lair with all this fancy technology. Turns out, you can clone somebody's voice with a $5 a month subscription in a few seconds of them talking. So whether that is your social media accounts, phone calls, whatever, that's all that's needed. So I share that story for a few reasons. One is it hit me in reading that there are hours of me talking on the internet. So I wanted to say, if you ever get a call from me asking for money and you're not my banker or my wife, it's not me, okay? It's not me. But the other thing is, as I heard this story, I think that there's something that can be learned from how to handle a situation like that that can transfer over into how do we discern God's voice. Because the training for situations like that is you're supposed to ask a question that only that person would know. So whether that's a certain word that you established on the front end, or if it's a question based on a shared experience or a memory that you have with that person, you ask them something that only they would know. And here's why. Okay, here's why I'm sharing this story. Because you can clone a voice But you can't clone a relationship. You can't clone a relationship. And so if we are trying to figure out how do we discern God's voice, how do we know if the thoughts that we're having or the pictures in our imagination, the desires in our hearts, the opportunities that seem to come our way, how do we know if that's God speaking to us? Discerning God's voice starts with an understanding of knowing who God is. What is God like? Because discerning God's voice starts with a relationship, knowing what God is like. So what is God like? Hebrews chapter 1. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, now, mind you, this was written a few thousand years ago, and he's saying, but in these last days, so we're still in the last days, a few thousand years later. We're one day closer, but despite the eclipse happening this past week, we're still here. Okay, still here. Still kicking, still on mission. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He being Jesus, he is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. Jesus is what God has to say. Jesus is what God has to say. And so when we are considering how do we discern whether or not it's God speaking to us, the foundational filter that we look through is the filter of Jesus. Is this Christ-like? Is it congruent to the character of Christ? This is why it's so important that we have an accurate and a clear picture of who Jesus really is. Because if that's our filter of is it like Christ, then it really matters that we have the accurate picture of who Christ is. We have to be careful that we aren't making Jesus into our own image, which is a common temptation to make God in our image. Like humans have been doing this thing for thousands of years, and it doesn't always look as archaic as building a shrine or whatever, like you see in other civilizations. We do this all the time as well. We try to make God in our image. I'll tell you this, if the Jesus you follow holds the same views on things like morality, ethics, sexual integrity, compassion, treatment of the poor, all of it, if the Jesus you follow has the same views as you had before you encountered Christ, then odds are the Jesus that you're following is a Jesus that you've actually made into your image. I mean, if you come to realize that, man, Jesus has the same views as I had before I got saved, then you're probably projecting your views onto Jesus instead of the other way around and letting Jesus transform you into his image. Because here's the deal. Jesus isn't the exact imprint of you. He's not the exact imprint of me, thank God. Jesus is the exact imprint of the Father. He's the exact imprint of God, the radiance of his glory and the exact imprint of his nature. Jesus is what God has to say. John chapter 1, verse 1 and 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus is what God has to say. And so if you're new to hearing God, a great place to start is with Jesus. What has God said through his Son, Jesus? And you can see what God has to say through reading one of the four biographies of the life of Jesus, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Great place to start is, so if you're saying, I just don't hear God, I don't know how to hear God, get to know Jesus. Get to know Jesus because Jesus is what God has to say. We just recently went through one of those biographies, the book of Mark, with the question of who is Jesus? Who do you say Jesus is? And at the end of Mark, in chapter 16, classic Mark fashion, he says something in just two sentences that takes Luke like 20 sentences to say. In Mark, he says, hey, after Jesus appeared, after he was raised from the dead, he encountered a couple disciples on a road in the country. And then he just moves on. But in Luke 24, Luke goes into more detail on that encounter. And that's the text that we're looking at today. It's Luke chapter 24, and it's often referred to as the Emmaus Road, or the Road to Emmaus. And the reason why we're looking at it is because I think it's a masterclass in how to hear God. There's so much that we can learn from what it means to be a disciple, a follower of Jesus in this story, because we see the covert Christ coming along in our journey through life and the importance of us proactively inviting Jesus into our conversations, into our sorrow, into our heaviness, into our grief, inviting him into our homes. That's what we see through this story. And there's tons of different things that we could pull out from this text, but we're going to look at three today as it pertains to hearing God. So the three things we're going to look at is how God speaks in various ways. God speaks through subtlety, and he speaks through scripture. So the first thing we're going to look at is how God speaks in a variety of ways. So last week, I told a story in which I told on myself and how poor of a communicator I am at times. So I shared this story, and I'm going to just recap it for anyone who wasn't here last week. I shared a story about this time whenever we were getting, you know, we're getting close to our anniversary, and I was trying to figure out what do I buy my wife as a gift. As we were getting closer, I was asking, hey, just, you know, let me know what you're feeling, what you're thinking. She's like, okay, I will. So time moves on. We get closer and closer to our anniversary, and I'm saying, okay, it's go time. You've got to tell me. Just tell me straight up, what do you want? And she says, I have. Not once or twice or even three times, but I've told you four times. And you still haven't got it. One of those times was her taking a magazine, putting it in front of my face and going, these seem like nice things that I would want to have one day. And I still didn't catch it. You know, and I felt like as I shared that story last week, I really connected with some people in the room. You felt seen, you felt heard, like I'm not the only one that this happens to. Now listen, that doesn't give you permission to continue that, right? Don't be like, hey, listen, it's okay because it happened to Pastor Austin too. All right, so we're all growing together. So I shared that this past week. This week, my wife comes and she hands me a magazine from the same company and just hands it to me, and it's the Mother's Day edition, and she's like, hey, here's some things in here that would be nice to have for Mother's Day. And I'm like, I'm tuned in, you know, like you fool me once. You slide this by me once and I miss it. We're not doing it twice, okay? I'm dialed in. I'm paying attention. I'm learning, okay? I'm growing. And, you know, I still haven't bought it yet. But I'm going to. I'm going to. There's group accountability here. You'll remind me to pull the trigger. So I'll buy it. But, I've learned from, you know, the past time she put a magazine in front of my face, like, I learned. And so I'm not going to miss her speaking to me that way again. But listen, if I am only paying attention to that one thing, that one way, that one form of communication, if the only way that she can get something across to me is by taking a magazine and putting it in front of my face, there's going to be a lot of things that she's trying to communicate to me that I'm completely going to miss. Because I'm only paying attention to that one way. You follow me? Okay? And the same thing happens with God. Where we may be accustomed to God speaking to us in one particular way, and we are dialed in and we are tuned into that one way. And that's great. There's nothing wrong with that. But if we are only expecting God to speak to us in that one way, then there might be times when God is trying to get our attention, where he's trying to speak to us, where he's trying to give us direction and guidance through other ways, but we don't see it, we don't hear it, because we're like just focused on this one thing. This is why we have to acknowledge the fact that God speaks in various ways, and be paying attention to him, whether it's the way that you typically hear him or not. So in the story of the Emmaus Road, we hear or we see God speaking in at least three ways. So we see him speaking through scripture. Verse 27, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So we see Jesus speaking through scriptures, and we'll get to more of that in a minute. We see Jesus speaking through sacrament. Verses 31 and 35, when he was at the table with them, he took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. Then they told what had happened on the road and how he was made known to them through the breaking of the bread. What's happening? God is speaking to them through the Lord's Supper, through the breaking of bread, through sacrament. Just this past week, we had baptism service. Baptism is another one of those sacraments. And the Lord, every time we do one of those services, the Lord shows up and I receive something from him. And then the third way that we see Jesus speak on the road to Emmaus is by his Spirit. At the end, they said to each other, did our hearts not burn within us while he talked to us on the road and while he opened up the scriptures to us? What was happening? They were in the presence of Jesus, the one who brings their spirit to life. The very source of their life, they're in his presence. And what's happening is their spirits are tuning in to the presence of Jesus. And later, they didn't know what was happening in the moment, but later they reflect back and go, man, were our hearts not burning within us, like a deep crying out to deep is what was happening there. God speaks to us in various ways. And I find it interesting that the three most obvious ways that God is speaking through this passage are also the three primary streams of the Protestant faith. You have the evangelical view, which is the high value for God's scriptures and his written word. And this is an important thing. You have the sacramental stream of the church, where there's an emphasis on the sacraments, things like the Lord's Supper and baptism. And then you also have the charismatic stream of the church, which is God speaking and working through his Spirit. And so I find it interesting that all three of those are represented here. And what can happen a lot of times in a lot of churches is an overemphasis on just one at the cost of the others. And if we do that, again, there's like God can speak to us in those ways. And that's fine. Like he can speak to you in that one way. There's nothing wrong with that. But we also have to be listening and looking for how God is speaking to us in the other ways as well. This is why we as a church, every week we gather, we hear the teaching of God's word. That's important. Like that feeds us. We also, every week on Wednesdays, we come to the table of the Lord to receive of the Lord's Supper. And we let the Lord speak to us through the bread and cup as we remember his sacrifice for us. And we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again as we sit at his table. We also, every service, service doesn't end when the message is over. Service doesn't end at that point. Every service, we invite ministry teams up to the front for the work of the Spirit. It's not the ministry of Pastor Terry or the ministry of our altar workers at that moment. It's the ministry of the Spirit that's taking place. God is still alive. He's still working. He's still talking. And so that's how we as a church hear God in these various ways. The second thing we see in this story is that God speaks through subtlety. God speaks through subtlety. Verse 15. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. You know, people think that if God were to speak to me, surely I would know it. Like, surely it would be so obvious that it would be undeniable that it was God talking to me. But yet, in this story, we see the risen Christ walking and having a conversation with a couple of his disciples, and they have no clue. They have no idea that it's Jesus. Oftentimes, we will miss hearing God, not because his voice is too foreign, but because his voice is too familiar. Because we're expecting God to speak in the spectacular, and God is wanting, and he'll do that for sure. But also, a lot of times, he's speaking to us in the ordinary. God speaks to you in ways that you can understand. He speaks to us in ways that we can understand. When Jesus went to call some of his followers who were fishermen by trade, the way that he extended that invitation to them was, come follow me and I'll make you become fishers of men. He spoke to them in a way that they understood. So that lands completely differently with me. Like for me, fishing is this leisurely activity that I do every now and then when the weather's nice. Okay. For them, fishing was their way of life. It consumed everything. Rain or shine, it doesn't matter. They have to go out and fish. It was what their entire life revolved around. And so Jesus is extending that invitation in a way that makes sense to them. And when in the Old Testament, whenever the Lord was speaking to a young shepherd boy named David, who would eventually become one of the most beloved kings in all of Israel's history, he was a shepherd boy caring for sheep, watching over them, protecting them whenever predators would come, guiding them where they needed to go to make sure they were nourished and cared for and all of this. And so in order for the Lord to reveal his nature to this boy, how he said it, how he communicated it to him was, he said, David, I as the Lord, I am your shepherd. And because I'm your shepherd, you won't go with lack. You'll want for nothing. I'm going to care for you. I'm going to guide you where you need to go. And so the Lord revealed himself to the shepherd boy as a shepherd. Why? Because God speaks to us in ways we understand. And so I'm curious how God might be speaking to you as an educator or as someone in sales. How might God be speaking to you as a grandparent or someone in construction or someone who's an investor or business owner? How might God be speaking to you? And I can tell you this, that God is speaking to us way more often and way more frequently than what we're hearing. In the ordinary, everyday, there are opportunities for God to reveal himself to you, for him to speak to you. We have to tune in to what he's saying. And one of the most reliable ways that we can tune in to the voice of God and discern whether or not it's him that we're hearing or not is through the scriptures. And so the third thing that we see in the road to Emmaus is that God speaks through scripture. Jesus could have shown up and said, hey, we're just going to scrap the Hebrew Bible. We're just going to scrap the scriptures, you know, just take my word for it. But instead, when Jesus is walking with his disciples, he takes them, he doesn't scrap the scriptures. He takes them through the scriptures and he reveals himself through this story. It's one unified story leading to Jesus. So that's how Jesus approaches it. And I'll say this, we may get into this more later on, but if Jesus needs multiple witnesses to establish his word, we probably do too. Okay, probably a smart call to not just say, hey, I heard from the Lord. Though it doesn't line up with anything else God has said, you better listen to me. You know what I mean? Like, Jesus doesn't even take that approach. He walks them through the scriptures and how they lead to him. Scripture plays a huge role in discerning God's voice. Just like earlier we talked about the foundational filter that you look through to determine whether or not what you're hearing is of God is Christ. Is it congruent with Christ's nature? Another great filter that we have to look through is this. Is it biblical? Is what we're sensing God saying, is it biblical? So it plays a huge role in discerning God's voice, but the Bible also plays a big part in hearing God's voice. There's a way to approach the Bible in which we approach it in order to hear what God is saying to us. There's an ancient practice of this called Lectio Divina, which is Latin for spiritual reading. And it's something that probably a lot of you already do without knowing it. And in this ancient practice, you read the Bible slowly and attentively, where the aim in this approach isn't to learn more information about God. The aim is to enter into conversation with God. So Bible study is important, and it does, like, this kind of approach to the Bible doesn't replace Bible study. Bible study is important, and that's how we can discern whether or not, you know, we're hearing God. We have to know what it actually means. So if Bible study asks the question of what did this text mean for its original audience, for them then, and how do we apply it to our life here now? You know, that's what Bible study does. Then Lectio asks the question of how is God speaking to me personally through this text? And we have to be careful here that we don't attempt to manipulate Scripture. Or we don't allow the deceiver to manipulate Scripture as he attempted to do with Jesus in the wilderness temptation. This is why it's important to be tethered to good doctrine, because when we approach the Scriptures through Lectio Divina or just prayerfully listening to how God might be speaking to us personally, we're not looking for a new meaning or a new revelation. We're just listening and hearing how might God be speaking to us. What does the Holy Spirit want to impress on us in this reading? And so I'll give you an example of what this might look like. About 10 years ago, I was in the process of weighing out what would be one of the biggest decisions I will have ever made in my life up to that point. And it was whether or not to leave the career that I had been in my entire adult life and enter into ministry vocationally. And I sensed that that was what God was saying, but I also had several concerns, you know, like we had just started having kids. And so one of my concerns was financially, like, God, how do we do this? I know that a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. That's a desire that I have. I want to be able to leave an inheritance. How do I do this with that income, you know? And that was one of the concerns. And as I was weighing out the decision, I really wanted God to just come across super loud and clear. Like, just give me a open vision, okay? Give me a dream. Have a stranger, someone that I have no clue who they are, just have a stranger come up to me and say, God said take the job. You know, like something like that is what I was hoping for. Like, God, this is a big, I don't know if you know this, God, but this is a big decision. So please make it clear. You know, nothing. Quiet. It felt like night in a lot of ways. And so the day that I told them that I would give them the decision, I did what I would do every morning. I sat down with the Scriptures and I listened for God's voice. And so that particular day, I was following a reading plan through the Psalms. That particular day, the reading for the day was Psalm 16. So I'm just going to read you a few verses from this Psalm, keeping in mind everything that I just shared with you in terms of where I was coming from. Psalm 16, verses 5 through 8. Lord, you alone are my inheritance, my cup of blessing. You guard all that is mine. The land you have given me is a pleasant land. What a wonderful inheritance. I will bless the Lord who guides me. And even at night, my heart instructs me. I know the Lord is always with me. I will not be shaken, for he's right beside me. So in that moment, just following the ordinary flow of what my practice and my rhythm of getting into God's written word and listening for what he wants to say, I didn't have this open vision. I didn't have some stranger come up and say, hey, I just heard from God, take the job. But what I did have was God speaking to me by his Spirit through his word. And this is something that you can enter into on a daily basis. Okay, it's not always going to be you're not always going to be weighing out a life-altering decision. But almost every day, there's going to be something that the Lord will highlight to you, that he'll speak to you, that's the bread that you need for that day. Just these small steps in the journey through life. And so how do you practice something like that? The first thing as you go to engage in this form of praying through the Bible, the first thing is you pause. You slow down because you can't be intimate and in a hurry at the same time. So you take your scattered thoughts, you take your scattered mind, and you direct it on the presence of Christ. And so you still yourself, you calm your mind, you breathe deeply. This would be a good time to pray in tongues as well, to let God's Spirit edify your spirit, and to just center yourself on the presence of Christ. And as you do that, you take the text for the day, whether that's through Psalms, for those starting out, through the Gospels would be a great place to start. And you just read through it, and then you read through it again, slowly and attentively. And as you do that, certain words or phrases or thoughts will just kind of lift off the page to you. They'll be highlighted in a way. And you just take that and you don't hurry. You just let God's Spirit speak to you. And then you take it, jot it down. This isn't something that has to be an hour-long process, right? A lot of people, when they think of doing something like that, they're like, okay, I have to wake up 2 hours earlier than normal. If you do, man, go for it. That's awesome. If you have 15 minutes, God can speak to you in 15 minutes too. And so you take it, you listen, you're unhurried, you take it and you just jot it down and you carry that through the rest of the day, just meditating on how God is speaking to you, because God is still speaking through his word. Just like the disciples on the road to Emmaus, God still speaks through his word. And so back to the story. The disciples are walking with Jesus, though they don't know it's him. And after this 2 or 3 hour walk, they arrive at their destination. And I love this about Jesus. Jesus was just going to keep walking. It said, like, he's just going to keep going. And the disciples said, hey, you know, evening's almost here. Why don't you come in and stay with us? See, Jesus isn't going to push his way into your life. He's not going to force himself into your life. He'll come and he'll knock at the door. He'll knock at your heart. But he's waiting for that invitation, like we hear from those disciples. Hey, why don't you come in and stay with us? So Jesus comes in, and then this interesting thing happens where Jesus, who was the guest, steps into the role of host. And he takes the bread and he blesses it and he breaks it. And then the disciples' eyes are open and they realize that it was Jesus all along. And they say, ah, weren't our hearts burning on the inside of us being with him on the way? So I'm curious if today you find yourself in a similar place as those two disciples, where you're going along the journey of life and you feel like your world has been turned upside down, or you're carrying a heaviness, a sorrow. Maybe you're weighing out a decision and you don't know which way to go. Because that's where these two guys were, these two people. That's where they were at. Is like everything that we had hoped for just fell apart. Like what we thought was going to happen turns out like it didn't play out the way that we thought it would. And so where do we go from here? And so they're grieved and they're carrying that heaviness and sorrow. And if that's you, I just want you to hear these words as we see in the opening lines of this story. I want you to hear these words as God's word to you today. As they were walking and talking, discussing these things, Jesus himself drew near. You're not alone. In the midst of your pain, in the midst of the heaviness and the sorrow that you're walking with, as you're weighing out this decision and which direction do I go, God wants you to know that though you're walking this journey, you're not walking this journey alone. That he is with you. And whenever you find yourself in a place like this, you may hear the voice of the stranger get ramped up in your heart that's saying, man, this is it. There's nothing past this. Like, you're not getting through this. You're not getting over it. You're not getting through it. There's no hope for you tomorrow. So what are you even still doing here? What is it? It's the voice of the stranger. It's the scammer on the other end of the line, masking himself as your own thoughts. But in the midst of that, the voice of truth cuts through the lies. He says, I'm with you. I'm never going to leave you. I'm never going to forsake you. Because Jesus, the Word, the living Word, what God has to say, he himself is drawing near to you, to walk with you. And you're not alone. You're not alone. I'm not saying that it's going to be easy. But what I am saying is it's not over. It may not be easy, but it's definitely not over. Jesus himself has drawn near to you, and he's going to see you through it. Amen.